You're listening to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell. Sponsored by Absolute Mortgage, a division of Pinnacle Capital Mortgage Corporation. Now, in the studio, local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to The Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here at 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, August 13th show. Each week, I share expert advice and inside knowledge on today's events in our local economy and how it can affect your money. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you are listening to a rebroadcast. You can call the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. In studio right now, I have Tanya Elizon with the Cascade Team at Real Estate. We're going to be talking about today's real estate market. Tanya, thank you for coming in and visiting me in studio today.
Thank you so much for having me, Tina. I'm excited to be here.
A little bit about Tanya. Tanya's managing broker with the Cascade Team Real Estate and specializes in the Snoqualmie Valley, also a longtime resident of North Bend. She has been in the top agent both in the Valley and at her company since joining the Cascade Team in 2008, earning the highest designation reserved for those few agents that are not only in the top 10% of sales, but also excel in giving back to their community. Her unique 1% listing fee, 100% full service program can save you thousands. This is truly a full service that includes professional HD photos, 3D virtual tools, staging consultation, open houses, high impact internet advertising, full color flyers and marketing board, properties, own interactive website, Fidelity Home Warranty, intensive social media campaign, premier listing on Zillow, Trulia, and more, and QR barcode retargeting campaign, and a lot more. Tanya provides herself an exceeding the services offered by others to ensure top dollar for property while saving thousands. Tanya, thank you again for coming in studio. It'll be a great conversation to have from your perspective on what's happening in our market, because as I was talking earlier with Sherry, there's a lot of craziness going on. And what do you think about how long this is going to be lasting?
You know, we don't really see an end in sight. Mm-hmm. It is still a strong seller's market. We still have a pretty big shortage of inventory. Mm-hmm. We have noticed a little bit of slowing in the Valley over the last month or two, which I think is kind of a positive sign for buyers.
Yes.
Not dropping in prices, mm-hmm. but we're seeing more inventory come out. Things that are overpriced tend to sit on the market a little bit more now. Yeah. We're seeing some more pushback from the buyers on that. And instead of maybe 8 offers in the first day, we're seeing mm-hmm. 1 or 2 offers.
Yes. And like you said, which is good. It's good to see good. Things not so crazy.
Right. So still crazy, still mm-hmm. a strong seller's market, prices still going up,
yes.
and a ton of buyers still looking for homes.
Yeah.
But I think there could be at least a little bit of a slowing in the direction of a little bit more balanced
uh-huh.
in the area that I'm in.
Got it. And so you mentioned a 1% listing fee, 100% full service. So what are they giving up versus if they paid the traditional 3%?
Absolutely nothing with me.
Okay, perfect. And that's a great uniqueness that you have that you offer to your sellers out there in the Valley.
It is. It is. It's exactly what I offer at 3%, actually.
Okay.
So it does, you know, it is truly full service still. I ended up joining the company and program because I kind of went, wow, this is an amazing program and uh-huh. I can never compete with this. So
yeah.
I guess I'll do it and offer that great benefit to all of my sellers.
Perfect. So how about the a CMA and a unique property that has no direct comparable? So how are you coming up with CMAs for your clients when there's not comparable properties? Because in your area, you do have a lot of unique properties.
We do. I myself live on 15 acres and a log home with multiple outbuildings.
Beautiful.
And they can be very challenging to find a direct comp for.
Uh-huh.
And so I get called in a lot for that.
Yeah.
Just a lot of times people just curious what their home value is worth and they try to look online and can't find it.
Mm-hmm.
I also get a lot of referrals from other agents that aren't sure how to help price their clients in those areas.
Got it.
It does take a lot more time.
Mm-hmm.
I usually spend hours working with a client on the CMA and kind of explaining how I'm getting there.
Okay.
There It's much easier for me when I say one of my listings on Snoqualmie Ridge. It's a straightforward CMA. We spend 10 minutes and it's very clear.
Uh-huh.
Whereas with the uniqueness of a lot of the acreage estate properties and floodplains and, you know, failed septic systems and wells and zoning complications.
A lot easier over here in the Seattle and Bellevue area.
It is in a lot of ways. But, you know, it's also kind of where the knowledge of the area helps immensely. And kind of explaining to them more what a buyer looking for that type of home would have also been interested in, and kind of showing them the prices on that, even if on paper they don't look identical.
Yeah. So, Tanya, what are you dealing with as far as the appraisals? I know there's been some challenges on timelines, and I talked about that on the Money Chat or my Money Chat last week. And it's been around for a few months that we've heard about the timelines. It didn't really hit me and our company till recently, and we're seeing it. And but not just the timelines. My real question for you is the lack of comparable properties. Are you having challenges with the appraisals?
Yes.
So, and I know that all of the work that you do and the package that you put together for the appraisers can help.
Yes.
But if there's not inferences, so what are you seeing, and how are your buyers dealing with that? Are they just paying the extra when the appraisals are coming low because there's not comparables, or how are you guys strategizing around that?
When I know that it's challenging to comp property, I do try to meet the appraiser at the property.
Sure.
And provide all of the information I can, including all things that could potentially be considered comps, why we're not including some as comps, just to help them. Help give them all the information that they might need.
Makes sense.
Because we do see a lot of unique things in the Valley that a lot of the times an appraiser doesn't realize.
Yeah.
And I'll include the one that on paper looks very similar, but make sure that it's got all the notes for them, mentioning that, well, what you don't realize is that property's flooded five times and they have an $8,000 a year flood insurance policy.
Yeah.
Therefore, it wouldn't really be quite comparable with this one. So I guess that's the best thing we can do, is provide them with as much information as possible.
Yeah.
And then I also offer to all appraisers in the area to call me. Even if I'm not involved in the transaction, just to call me and ask about
any
of the properties in the Valley.
That's great. So building a rapport with those appraisers.
I'm always happy to take the time. Doesn't matter which company they're doing it for, which agent. I'd much rather that they call a local agent before finalizing their report and make sure that they have all the information on those properties.
Yes. Okay. And are you seeing extensive fees coming up for the appraisals now because of the uniqueness of the properties that you work with?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's understandable. I usually warn my buyers a little bit ahead of time that when it's a challenging to comp property, they're going to have to spend a lot more time on it. Mm-hmm. I just did a refi on my house and we went through that. You know, it was about more than double what a normal appraisal fee would be, but we also expected that.
Well, a normal is not normal anymore. I mean, as a company, we're paying $200 bonuses to the appraisers to speed things up. We are paying $200 for, so yeah, there's some, that's a whole show right in itself is what's happening with the lack of appraisers out there. So Tanya, is doing a delayed review of offers always recommended in this market?
It is not.
Right.
It is recommended in some situations, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But we are seeing some pushback, and there is a risk to doing so.
Yes.
And it is ultimately a decision that the seller needs to make, and they need to make it by discussing in depth just before listing, really focusing again on the details, what the other inventory is, where their price point is, their neighborhood, and how much competition there is at the time, whether or not a delayed review would be beneficial or not in their situation. Because we do see sometimes negative connotations happen when they do the delayed review. We're seeing it a little bit more recently, where, especially in my area, I've been noticing pushback from the buyers, and they're going, when you say, oh, they're going to be looking at offers next Tuesday, and they say, forget it, I'm not even going to go and see that house. I'm sick of that game.
Yeah.
And it is something that sellers need to be aware of, or the fact that they lose that potential if they're priced already pushing it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
they do lose the potential of that buyer running right out there and giving them everything they want the first day.
Sure. Yeah. And I always tell my listeners that it really is consulting with your real estate expert. You've got to work with the best of the best. And again, that's what the show is all about. And as I said, coming into the, you know, to the show for this segment, it's really bringing the best of the best in the industry right here in studio. And it's so important because you've got to be able to trust the advice that they're giving them. And there's not just a generic way for buyers to work or for sellers to work. It's going to be specific, just as you just mentioned, to property, to area, to what's happening at that time in the market. So what about buyers? How are you coaching your buyers to be ready to be competitive and win in this market, Tanya?
It is very challenging for the buyers out there right now. They've been pretty beat up over the last year or two.
Yeah.
The biggest key is for them to be ready, to have knowledge of the market, the areas they want to live in, to work with a great loan officer such as you, and not just have their pre-approval, but know all of their numbers. And so all of their options.
Yes.
So every home we're standing in, before we walk into it, they know what their payment would be.
Mm-hmm.
We can discuss the specifics of the home. If there are any other costs associated, they can compare them directly. Things like flood insurance and all of those different aspects. And be ready to jump when that house lists.
Yes.
Kind of call it I like them to take what I call a crash course in real estate, which is we go through the different neighborhoods they like, even if there's nothing for them. There's nothing on the market that immediately works for them.
Mm-hmm.
We go through some of the ones that are similar, that have already sold, so they can kind of get a feel for the prices, the market, what they're going to get, which areas they like, they don't like. They should check out the schools in advance, do all of that before putting in their offer, because the luxury of waiting a day or two to think about it doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
And then when that right property comes on the market, drop everything, run out there, see it immediately, and we write an offer right then because they feel confident in doing so if they're well prepared.
Exactly. So that is, you know, really if the key of success is to be prepared, be confident on what you're willing to do, what you're not willing to do. As you said, the payment and understanding, you know, what is that maximum that you're going to go and set those limits, stick to it, go out there, run, have the sense of urgency and follow the lead of your real estate expert.
And don't get caught up like many do in, you know, the multiple offers and bidding above what you're comfortable with and what you can afford. And be okay walking away from a house.
And it's funny because your market with so much unique properties that you're seeing still the same craziness that we are in, you know, in the city. And so it's interesting that not much difference there. What are some of the things that you're doing to get creative in contingencies? Are you seeing a lot of the crazy removing of contingencies that you're seeing in like the Seattle and Eastside market?
We do.
Are you saving waiving of finance contingencies?
I actually just reached mutual on one for my clients yesterday.
So you've got to be really careful with
cash. My buyers did not waive.
Okay, yes.
This was one where representing the sellers. That's why they chose that offer, because everything's waived.
Yeah.
We are seeing a lot of that still. I would caution buyers very much so on waiving inspection and financing contingencies.
Yeah.
You know, especially with inspections, we do have options for pre-inspections and stuff. I would say it's slowing down a little bit in the last month or two, where we're not seeing quite as many pre-inspections and waived inspections, but we are still seeing them.
Yeah. What about paying, agreeing to pay more than what the appraised value might come in? Are you guys doing that? Yes.
I've had quite a few where I've been representing the sellers, and that those are the offers that they're choosing are often the ones where they are offering above, but the concerns are often the appraisals, which is where adding that clause in there where they agree to come in with so much cash to make up any difference in a low appraisal up to a certain amount. You know, it makes it a pretty easy decision for my sellers and which offer they're going to select.
And that's why you need to be prepared up front, because if you're listening right now, you might think, well, gosh, that's crazy. You're going to be willing to pay $40,000, $50,000 more than the appraised value if that were to happen. And what you really need to do, you need to decide what you're willing to do and to get into today's real estate market. And the only way you do that is you look at the numbers, look at the rates now. What if the rates were going to go up? How long would it really take to make up that $40,000 to $50,000, what do you think the real estate appreciation is going to do? I think all of us in studio agree that in the short term, properties are not going to stop appreciating. It's a question of how quickly or how long this is going to continue. So having that confidence in running the numbers is really what it's about, because $40,000, $50,000 is not a lot of money when you look at a potential rate increase and you look at the fact that properties are going to continue to appreciate at least over the short term.
Right. And when you're spreading that out over 30 years.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. So differences when buying or selling in a rural area versus the cities, Tanya.
The biggest thing I would say with that is making sure you're working with somebody that has knowledge of the specific areas, because there are a lot of unique aspects in a rural community. And usually it is things, you know, people from out of area working with somebody from out of area that do end up buying those homes that have flooded seven times and will continue to do so. So that's probably our biggest key in that.
Perfect. Okay. Just working with that expert that understands
working with an expert,
the market.
And that can also explain the values when none of the automated sites will ever come close.
Yes. Yeah. Perfect. Tanya, thank you so much for coming in studio. It was a pleasure. Look forward to having you back again.
Thanks so much, Tina.
This is your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, signing off for today. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday. I'll be here same time, same place next weekend, right here on 1150 AM KKNW. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.